there was quite a bit of thunder and lightning last night, but there was just one particular crack of thunder that I think woke all of us up. One of those thunder strikes that you can just feel rattling the earth.
I'm Matt Podolsky. In the fall of 2022, I got into my sleeping bag at the foot of Mount Katahdin in Maine. I had hiked more than 2,000 miles of the Appalachian Trail, and my journey was coming to an end.
I feel this looming shadow of Katahdin, even though we haven't had very many good views of it, just knowing that I'm so close to climbing it and finishing this hike just makes it feel like this enormous looming presence.
I had been hiking for 6 months, half a year of my life. I missed my wife and son. I missed bathrooms and hot meals. But I had also bonded with new friends and pushed myself harder than I ever had before. It was surreal to know that it was almost over.
One more night in the tent. One more night in the tent. Normally, when I get into my tent at the end of the night, I just pass out almost immediately because I'm so tired from the day's hiking, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to sleep.
For thru-hikers, Katahdin is a symbol, the end or the beginning of an entire stage of life. But Katahdin is a lot more than just the northern terminus of the Appalachian Trail. To the Wabanaki people, it is the greatest mountain and their most important sacred site. And to Mainers, it is a protected wilderness that represents the remote beauty the state is known for. And like a lot of the things I learned about on the trail, these symbols and the people who believe in them don't always see eye to eye. This is Common Land, and in this episode, my journey comes to an end. Something all thru-hikers know is that the northern terminus of the Appalachian Trail falls inside an unusual zone, Baxter State Park. It's named for Percival Baxter, a former Maine governor who bought the land around Katahdin and donated it to the state of Maine. And getting inside isn't always easy.
There's this whole fairly convoluted and confusing system of permitting Appalachian Trail thru-hikers to camp within Baxter State Park. And it's pretty much a universal source of confusion for all thru-hikers that I've encountered. So they have a special campground for AT thru-hikers called the Birches, and only the first 12 people that sign up are allowed to stay.
That sign-up sheet is posted each day at the park entrance. I know several thru-hikers who woke up in the middle of the night to reach the park entrance just at dawn and ensure a camping spot. My trail family had gotten lucky. We'd found one of the rare available car camping sites online a few weeks earlier and booked it.
What's your legal name?
Matthew Podolsky.
That's Zach, a ranger at Baxter State Park.
My trail name?
Birdman.
Northbound thru-hiker?
Yep.
Perfect. And you're going up and down the hunt trail?
Yeah, I think that's the plan. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be cold and icy up there. There is inherent risk in all of this. You're taking your own safety into your own hands when you go up there. So be smart about it.
Gotcha.
All right. Okay. You are Nobo 995.
995, awesome.
And so you get to keep that.
Okay.
This, make sure you give to the gate when you leave. That's how we know you got out of the park safe.
Thanks, man.
Absolutely.
Good to meet you. Appreciate it.
It's a unique park. There's no other park set up with the governance and structure as Baxter.
That's Patty Cormier, Maine's state director of forestry and the chair of the Baxter State Park Authority.
part of that uniqueness of the park is this amazing donation, right, from Percival, former governor Percival Baxter.
Percival Baxter's political career began in the Maine State Legislature, and his primary policy goal right from the beginning was to secure protection for Katahdin and the surrounding area. Twice, he introduced bills proposing a Katahdin State Park, and both times, they failed to pass. So in 1930, he turned directly to the owner of the land, Great Northern Paper Company. He purchased almost 6,000 acres, encompassing most of Katahdin, with his own personal funds. The next year, he donated the land back to the state of Maine, establishing Baxter State Park. Over the following decades, he continued buying up property, expanding the park by over 30 square miles. Today, it's one of the biggest state parks in the entire country.
And he had three experts that helped him in his quest for putting these parcels together and purchasing, designing the road and, you know, thinking about management. And that was at the time a game warden he worked with, and the head of it was the forestry district, and the legal aspect of the attorney general. And so that was the foundation for him, that those three people helped him. So he always wanted that the governance of the park would be those three people that he trusted so much.
Those three positions, the Maine attorney general, the director of the Maine Forest Service, and the commissioner of inland fisheries and wildlife, now make up the Baxter State Park Authority, which is responsible for decision making within the park.
The management of Baxter State Park is a really interesting subject in land management because, you know, it's a trust.
That's Mills Kelly, professor of history at George Mason University and the host of the Green Tunnel podcast.
And so those trustees operate that park on behalf of the ecosystem, not on behalf of people.
It's about wildlife before people. So if there's a conflict with campers and a bear, If it's about campers harassing a bear, then the campers have to go. Most of the park is not managed as far as forest management goes, wildlife management. It's leave alone, let wild.
Strong winds were blowing through the trees as I started my way up Katahdin.
All right. This is it. Starting up the hunt trail to the top of Katahdin. Last 5.3 miles of the Appalachian Trail. Yep. Pretty surreal. Pretty surreal feeling to be at the end. Almost 6 months of intense effort is coming to an end today.
It was September, which at high elevations in Maine can feel more like midwinter.
All right, well, I'm a good ways up, maybe like halfway up Katahdin here, and a group of thru-hikers, including a few folks we know, just came down the opposite direction. They made it to the tree line and then turned around. They said the wind was really bad, like 50 miles per hour or maybe, and they decided not to go up to the summit. But still got, part of our group is still ahead, so I'm at least going to get up to the tree line here and scope it out for myself, see what everyone else is thinking. But that would suck if we had to go back down and couldn't summit today. I mean, you can hear the wind just whipping.
For thru-hikers, Katahdin is a rite of passage. But Baxter State Park is managed under strict rules. On Katahdin Summit, groups of more than 12 people aren't allowed, and hikers are asked to stay reasonably quiet and refrain from drinking alcohol.
The fact is, hikers going to the summit of Katahdin have been misbehaving for decades.
Again, that's Mills Kelly.
And have been trampling fragile flora and have been, you know, spraying champagne around or beer around up on the summit and, you know, doing all the things that they're not allowed to do because the attitude is, hey, I hiked up here. I get to do what I want to do.
Conflict between Baxter State Park and the Appalachian Trail had been brewing for decades, but came to a head in 2014. Then director of the park, Jensen Bissell, drafted a letter to the Appalachian Trail Conservancy. Bissell wrote, quote, "The Appalachian Trail model seems to be based on unlimited growth in use, while Baxter State Park operates under a fixed capacity model," end quote. He concluded the letter by suggesting that if the Appalachian Trail Conservancy didn't institute a permitting system so that they could limit the number of thru-hikers, Baxter State Park might insist on relocating the trail's northern terminus.
It came really close. You know, it came really close to the sign coming off the summit of Katahdin and being in the parking lot at the base. Because the trustees were done. Like, they were done with misbehavior up on the summit.
This is hard for me to imagine. While you're on it, the trail can seem fixed, ancient. But that's not the case.
So the trail's 100 years old. You know, things change. I mean, Springer was not the southern terminus. Oglethorpe was. And so Oglethorpe was the beacon that people hiked toward, and then it wasn't. And so, you know, Katahdin is Katahdin, and it's awesome, but it doesn't have to be the terminus. It just feels like it has to be the terminus because it's so cool. But could it be a different mountain in Maine? Could be. It doesn't have to be Katahdin.
But for now, it is Katahdin, and the conflict seems to have subsided.
I think outreach and communications have happened at a much better pace and tenor than had been before.
Again, that's Patty Cormier, the chair of the Baxter State Park Authority.
Folks, you know, Appalachian Trail folks are working much closer with Baxter and vice versa.
Like, can you imagine a scenario where, like, the park would have to say, like, no, the sign's coming down off that mountain?
I can't think of that. I mean, there's always probably going to be some inherent conflict, but no, I can't see why that would happen.
So I don't know. I'm going to layer up and go up to where you said and...
You will see what I mean.
Yeah. I reached Treeline, where a group of about a dozen thru-hikers had gathered.
What's up, Burman? What do you guys think? I'm going to at least go a little ways up and scope it out. So, if I come back down, it means I'm turning around. If not, I'm going to go for it.
It looks easy to get up, but how the hell are you going to get down?
Right. What do you think of Chalked Up?
I mean, a powerful woman went up there.
I know, right?
The conditions split my trail family. Bearsnack, Koozie, and Sauce turned back, but Chop Chop and I decided to push forward, knowing that our friend KFC was just ahead of us.
Look at this ice on the rock, man. That is crazy. Like, the whole side is just like coated in a layer of ice.
Yeah.
It's gnarly.
Winter is here.
Yeah. We're almost at the top of the steepest section of the trail. Which is called the Gateway. A little over a mile and a half from Baxter Peak. All the stunted little trees and shrubs are covered in a layer of ice. It's
It's actually beautiful. It's amazing.
We'll be back with more about the Appalachian Trail and Baxter State Park after a short break. Hey there, adventurers. Are you ready to hit the trail this season? If so, check out Big Agnes, the mother of comfort. Whether you're backpacking, car camping, or sleeping under the stars in your backyard, Big Agnes gear is built for comfort without compromise. Their award-winning sleeping bags, pads, and tents are lightweight, durable, and feel like home, no matter where you roam. Say goodbye to cold, stiff nights, and hello to plush, cozy sleep in the wild or your backyard. Find Big Agnes at an outdoor retailer near you or at bigagnes.com and feel the difference. Big Agnes, comfort built for the backcountry. We're back. I'm Matt Podolsky, and this is Common Land, a show about the Appalachian Trail. Before the break, we were exploring some of the disagreements between Baxter State Park and the Appalachian Trail Conservancy. But there is also a history of conflict between the park and nearby indigenous nations.
We are the land, and the land is sort of the very driving force of our resistance to colonialism throughout history and into the present day.
That's Nolan Altivater, a citizen of the Passamaquoddy tribe and an educator and storyteller who works for the Passamaquoddy Tribal Preservation Office.
You know, there may be no homogenous worldview or indigenous identity, but there's this sort of these fundamental understandings that how we have structured our socioeconomic lives and relationships directly impact the sustainability of our homelands, and that the teachings found within our oral histories and other forms of knowledge sort of convey this, and that conceptions of nature in these systems were not often, you know, separate from us. As I was saying, like, we are the land, and what happens to the land happens to us. That's putting it very, very simply, but it is a lot more complex than that when you actually see sort of how indigenous knowledge systems build relationships with their homelands. Katahdin is located amongst two of the branches of the Penobscot River, which, you know, is the ancestral river of the Penobscot Nation, and they've been traveling that for, you know, since time immemorial. When Baxter State Park became the colonial thing that it is today, and with that, with their rules around the specific activities you can do there, there was a time where ceremony was not allowed in that area. Recently, there was legislation put forward to appoint a Penobscot tribal member to the Baxter State Park Authority. This bill was rejected both due, again, the blatant unrecognition of Wabanaki sovereignty that you'll see from the governor and Maine Attorney General, but also it being contradictory to the trust that Baxter created.
We're, of course, very well aware and respect the relationship of the indigenous folks to the mountain, past and present, right?
Again, that's Patty Cormier.
That bill, the LD 294 that went through the legislature, was a good starting point for increasing communications and working with the tribes, and that has occurred, and there's some good things happening. And, you know, it's about trust, right? I think we have to get to that point of talking to each other and trusting each other. You know, I don't think 294 really it was a law, right? And it was kind of forcing things. And that's not how you get to, like, driving something down people's throat. That's not really the best way to go about it. Was that setting up trust by having this law to force something?
Like, I don't understand why it's controversial without, and I mean, I guess I can start to, like, as I've learned more about Baxter and how the authority works, but, like, on the surface, for somebody that's just like, oh, like, the Penobscot Nation wanted to add a fourth member to the authority and have their voice represented, like, why is that controversial?
Well, simply, the simplest way to say it is it comes to that deeds of trust.
The deeds of trust. These are the conditions that went along with Percival Baxter's donation. And they're a big deal because there's a clause in there saying that if the deeds of trust are broken, the lands will revert back to Baxter's family. What makes this even more difficult is that the deeds aren't always the easiest documents to interpret.
It's not so structured. You've just got to work around this document from, you know, long ago and what he wanted at that time and adjust it to what's going on now, saying, what would he do now? He wasn't dealing with that then.
It makes me, like, as you're talking about it, I'm thinking about, like, constitutional scholars, right? And, like, originalists mm-hmm. versus, like, you know what right? I mean? Like, it sounds right. like really similar to that those kinds of debates, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, that's a good analogy.
If we run with that analogy and we think of the three-person Baxter State Park authority as the equivalent to the Supreme Court justices tasked with interpreting the Constitution, it's clear that all three members of the Baxter State Park authority are originalists. It feels like there's not much room for treating the deeds of trust as more of a living document. But that could be fueled, in part, by a fear of the consequences of breaking Baxter State Park's deeds of trust.
So it came down to this legal question of putting another person on it was going to break that deed. Breaking that deed, it's also spelled out that the land reverts to a family of Baxter.
Would Baxter State Park have really ceased to exist as we know it if this bill had been signed into law? This kind of action, adding a new member to the Baxter State Park Authority, has never been tested in court. Nobody can say for sure what might have happened had the bill passed. Here's Nolan Altivator.
They were kind of scared that wouldn't that make the trust null and void if we're going against it? You know, it's like my response to that is like, and? Like, and? You know, I've climbed Katahdin, and, like, obviously, like, I have that community and ancestral connecting to it, but there's also that level of, like, yeah, this is a beautiful landscape and a powerful place.
When I reached Katahdin Summit, KFC was the only other person there.
It is less windy right at the top. Or maybe the wind just died down. I don't know.
Died down. It was pretty.
That was gnarly. That last half mile,
the
man.
Last stretch.
Oh my god!
But Chop Chop and another hiker, Wrong Way, were just a few minutes behind me.
Yeah, guys, he made it. We made
wild
it.
Wild man.
Oh my god!
I told all of them. I said, "KFC, KFC hasn't come back yet. Just go."
No. I know. Everybody was congregating down there. They're like, but KFC's not here. She just went. She just did it.
Woo! Yeah!
Hot damn.
We had only about 10 to 15 minutes to linger on the summit before our fingers and toes would start to go numb from the cold. At the summit is a wooden sign, kind of like a weathered sandwich board. It's a tradition for thru-hikers to stand on the wooden plank in the back and have their picture taken. My friend, Chop Chop, stepped up to the plank first.
Okay. Be careful getting up there. The back is covered in ice.
Oh, yeah. You know. I'm going to hand you your poles.
So wait, do you want a video of you getting up there, or?
Once I get up there, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah! Let's go! Woo!
Proud of you. Ferdinand, you want your photo?
Yeah.
And then it was my turn. The wind was whipping. There was no view, but I had made it.
Where is everybody? Why aren't they up here celebrating? Woo! See, how long you been up here?
A little while. It's alright, I needed to cry a lot when I got up here, so I was kind of glad no one else was here.
Were you the only one up here when you got here?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not going to be up here on a beautiful day, it might as well be the f***ing extreme opposite of that, you know? I mean, this felt like a f***ing winter hike.
Yeah.
Like, coming up that, I was like, I feel like I should have my skis on my back.
And just like that, it was time to hike down. My through hike was over.
The through hike is over. I'm coming down from Katahdin, back below treeline. The peak of Katahdin is definitely still up in the clouds, and I'm sure the wind is still whipping up there and that it's freezing cold, but down here, the sun is out. It's a beautiful day, and I just finished my through hike.
Of course, after 6 months living on the trail, it isn't easy to just stop. I was reluctant to leave, especially knowing that some of the other members of my trail family had yet to make it up to Katahdin's summit. So a couple of days later, I joined them for their second attempt.
So I just made it up onto the Tablelands, and it's spectacular. It's amazing. I mean, clear day. Barely any clouds in the sky. There's some wind, but it's a very comfortable temperature. It's there's no way to put into words these views that I'm getting. They're spectacular, breathtaking.
What I learned over 6 months on the Appalachian Trail is that things are always changing. 100 years ago, the first Appalachian Trail Conference was held, and the AT was born. But some of the actual paths that the AT follows are ancient. These 2,200 connected miles can feel as old as time, and in a sense, they are. But they aren't static. They are constantly changing, and the pace of that change has accelerated. The next 100 years will bring dramatic changes to this iconic trail, but as long as people keep hiking, the trail will persist. I enjoyed every moment of that final climb and stood on the summit again, this time with 24 hikers who had just completed the journey of a lifetime.
Smile. Okay, congrats, guys.
Yes, congrats. Yeah,
you're almost there.
Houston!
Yes.
Hey, you're done.
Where are we?
One of you guys take a picture for me.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Okay, here we go.
Although my mom wasn't able to climb Katahdin with me, she met me at the bottom and joined in the celebration. The following summer, she hiked from Connecticut to New Hampshire, before being forced off trail by wildfire smoke. She hopes to complete the rest of the trail in 2025. I've stayed in touch with KFC, Chop Chop, Koozie, Bear Snack, and Sauce. Bear Snack thru-hiked the Pacific Crest Trail this past spring and summer, and I couldn't have been more jealous. My long-distance hiking career is far from over. Common Land is a production of the Wildlands Collective. This season was produced in partnership with New Hampshire Public Radio. This episode was produced by me, your host, Matt Podolsky. Music is by Blue Dot Sessions. To learn more about the show and to see a full list of credits, go to commonlandpodcast.com.